Women make up more than 50% of our society, yet they are less than 50% of the elected officials in Wisconsin. Today, we're going to talk about women running for elected office. Hello, I'm Gwen Gunther, president of Wheeler Reports, and you're listening to Hashtag LocalGovMatters. Today, I'm joined by Jenny Erickson, the Sauk County UW Extension Community Development Educator. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
And Dan Hill, the Local Government Specialist for UW Extension. Hello, Dan.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
So, Jennifer, I'm going to start with you. Why is it important that we encourage more women to run for office?
Well, I think we've learned from the private sector partners that women, more diverse boards make better boards. They make better decisions. And so when you have women on local elected boards, they're bringing different perspectives. They're bringing different issues to the table. We know that women tend to talk or bring issues up related to safety, children and families. Those are the kinds of things that women bring to the table. And without their voices there, they may not be, wouldn't be heard. Those issues may not be heard.
So when we ask women to run for office, do we stereotype them into specific areas and ask them to cover the children and ask them to cover the health? Or are we finding that women, when they're running for offices, have a more diverse background and are going into some of those areas that they didn't used to be asked to step into?
I think they're asked, when they step into these local elected offices or all these positions, they bring with them a different set of issues. They are bringing to the table maybe some of the topics that haven't been brought up at the town board before, because they may have different interests, like I said, and different perspectives.
So, Dan, what do you think, or what have you found over the years, are some of the things that are preventing women from running for office?
Well, I think there's a number of things, but we did a lot of literature review on this, and a couple things that come up in literature that we sort of verified with our research were that women, many women don't even consider running for office. So there's sort of two steps. You have to consider it in order to decide. So in many cases, because women have not seen themselves in those roles before, they don't even consider it. And then there's the whole decision-making process where there's a variety of barriers that women face that men don't face in terms of making the decision to run.
A few years ago, when I spoke at the Wisconsin Counties Association Forum, we were talking about women running for office. And one of the local officials said, it's very hard for women to get involved when the meetings are during the day and they're at work, or the meetings are at night when their kids have activities. And it's very hard for them to shuffle doing all of the different things that they do in their life and then run for elected office. Are you seeing that communities are doing a better job of making meetings and making those things that are required of elected officials more accessible to people, whether it's women or just anybody who wants to run for office?
I was just going to say, I think that's an issue for men and women, and we found that. Things around time away from work, time away from family, those are big issues for men and women. And I think local governments are trying to make adjustments to better meet those demands on folks' times so that they can get a more representative elected officials in office.
I think that there's a mix, though, out there. Yeah. I think there's still a lot of boards that refer back to tradition. We've always done it this way. Why are we going to change? We're doing fine without making a change. So I think it's a mix. Mm-hmm. But I think that there are a number of boards that are trying to figure out how do we get more working people to run for these offices. Because time is such a precious commodity for people who are working full time and have childcare duties at home also.
One of the things that we've talked about with volunteer firefighters and volunteer EMS on this podcast is that we have a lot of people who are commuting from their communities to and from work and aren't home just to make meetings or just to be involved in their communities. Are there ways that they can help people who are commuting to become part of those things? Are you seeing those kinds of trends as well? You're both smiling at each other.
Well, I think it goes back to some communities that are trying to make a commitment. But when you talk about people commuting, now rather than an 8-hour day, it becomes a 10-hour day that's devoted to work, right? So it makes it that much more difficult for them. in those cases, it would be nearly impossible for them to take the time away from work to go to meetings during the day. So I think those communities that are scheduling meetings at night, whether it be the full board or their committee meetings, are more likely to be successful in recruiting working people to run for office. That's my conjecture here. We haven't done research on it, but I think common sense would tell you that if you make the meetings at times when people can attend, they're more likely to say, yeah, maybe I can get involved in this.
I've also seen some efforts on the other side from employers saying, yes, I think it's important that you are involved in the community and we want you to serve an elected office. And so the employers have said, yes, we're going to allow you to be gone during these hours of the day to attend different committees. I've seen that too.
At the legislative level, they have the opportunity, if they can't make it in, they can call in for meetings. They can do various things that allow them to partake in a meeting that they might not be able to do otherwise. Are communities making it available for people to be able to make meetings even if they can't be there? Can they teleconference in? Can they phone call in? Are there rules preventing them from doing these things?
Well, I can only speak. I work in Sauk County, and so I have I'm most familiar with Sauk County, and I can say that they allow that to some extent, but I don't think it's a regular ongoing practice, and I don't think it's allowed during the county board meeting. But for different committees, people do Skype in and participate that way, and I've seen it a number of times. But like I said, it's not an ongoing kind of practice.
Right. Have you seen it in other communities, Dan?
Yeah, I think yes. The issue though is that those communities have to have a reliable technology that allows people to participate, with the public being able to monitor what's going on. So because there's implications for the open meetings law here. So if we had seven people sitting around a speakerphone and that was the only public access, it would be really hard for the public to monitor what's going on. If each of us are calling in from separate locations, because you wouldn't be able to tell who was speaking at the time. So the implications of the open meetings law put some serious limitations on how much you can do remotely. Now, if we have four people sitting around the table and one person calling in, the Attorney General's office has said in the past, and I don't know what the current office would say, said that's okay because we know that when somebody's calling in, we know who that person is that's speaking and we can hear what they're saying. So there are some issues there. And in a lot of the smaller communities, they just simply don't have the technology available to do it.
It goes back to needing more broadband in the state.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the trends in women running for office.
The League of Wisconsin Municipalities advocates for Wisconsin's 600 cities and villages, speaking up for local democracy and common-sense citizen-led government. Learn more at lwm-info.org.
Welcome back to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and I'm joined today by Jennifer Erickson, the Sauk County UW Extension Community Development Educator, and Dan Hill, the Local Government Specialist for UW Extension. So, Dan, you talked about women first needing to see other women in those offices and waiting to be asked. So what kinds of things are being done, and how are we helping women to see that they should be ready to run for office?
Well, I think that's a very good question. And what we're doing, let me sort of back up a little bit before we talk about what we're doing, because we're just at the initial stages of putting some information that we've gathered into practice. What we wanted to do, because many of us work in the community development field, we would go to meetings. We would see women at meetings of nonprofit organizations, service clubs, community groups, lots of women participating, lots of women in leadership positions in those groups. On the other hand, we go to meetings of governmental bodies, whether it's town boards, city councils, village boards, county boards, and very few women are on these boards. So Jenny and another one of our colleagues and I started trying to figure out, why is this? And what we determined by doing some survey research of currently elected officials and a number of people who we identified as potential good leaders and that could run for local government, is that And I've just lost track of what I was going to say there. So we are going to have to cut off. So where was I going with this? I'm sorry about that.
So preparing women to step forward.
Okay, yeah. So one of the things that we found is that women face some barriers that men do not face. Now, we found a lot of barriers that all of these potential candidates, men or women, face that people who had already run for office and been in elected office didn't seem to see those as barriers. So we've kind of come down on this point where women in particular understand the process of running for office or being in office differently than men do. There's this notion that women have to be, feel like they have to be super qualified before they can run. So what we're trying to do is get word out there to good potential candidates that they can run, they can do, they can learn on the job, they can get on the ballot without, as we've said, checked all the boxes in terms of qualifications or assumed qualifications.
We did some studies on some surveys of potential elected officials. We looked at both men and women, and we asked them, what are some of the barriers, basically? What are some of the, we tested some barriers or perceived barriers as to why they don't want to run for elected office. And we heard a couple of key things where women really felt strongly that they indicated they didn't think they would do as good of a job or do a good job as an elected official, at much more significant levels than men. Men might have thought the same thing, but nowhere near the same level. Same thing with making decisions in public. Women were more uncomfortable with that than men. Greater issues around fear of losing the election. Women in much higher numbers did not want to run against an incumbent. And there was a lot more concerns from women about criticism in the public and coming back to making decisions in public. So we saw that in those areas, women were significantly more concerned about those barriers than men. We also asked a whole host of questions about what are their qualifications? What are the qualifications of the men in this potential elected group versus women? They had really virtually similar qualifications, right? They had probably maybe experience with nonprofits, run a business, organize different events. All that sort of stuff was pretty similar across the board. But then when we asked women, do you feel qualified to run for elected office? They said no, in much higher numbers than men. And so we originally kind of started to classify it as like a confidence thing, but I don't think it's a confidence thing. I think these women are very confident. They know what they have their skills down. It's just, again, getting back to this, I guess, feeling that you have to meet all the requirements. And we read this in other research. When women apply for jobs, they feel like they need to hit every one of the 10 qualifications, and men might see one or two and be like, yeah, I got the rest. So it's just a different way of looking at what are those qualifications. And that gets back to what Dan was saying. So that's what we found in some of our initial work.
There are several groups in Madison that do training programs for women who are interested in getting involved in running for office, whether it's at a local level or at a state level or possibly at a national level. And some of the things that they help walk through are, you know, how to read the budget process and how to read those numbers, how to deal with making decisions, some of the things that you've talked about. And one of the things that I get asked to come in and speak with these women is how to deal with the media, how to prepare a press release, how to take a phone call. And it seems to be something that the men are generally, okay, have the reporter call me, I'll be fine. And women want to be prepared because they want that confidence in knowing that they're prepared to talk to somebody for other people. Is that something that the Extension program does as well, or is it just these individual groups that do training for women?
Well, we have, I don't know if we've gotten into that level of detail in terms of training. And one thing I want to back up on here is that Dan and I and others have done a number of presentations on this, and we were at a women's group not too long ago, and they pointed out, I think, a really key detail here, and that is, women might think they have to check all the boxes, right? And men may not feel like they need to check all those boxes, but there may be a reason why women feel that way. They might have to check more boxes than men, so it's not like a perception out of nowhere. There are different requirements. Socially, that women do need to be more prepared. There's an expectation that they need to, be even kind of uber qualified in order to kind of match up. And so I want to make that really clear. But in terms of preparing for those specific skill sets, what we're talking about more is how do we encourage women to run? And to let them know, hey, those resources are out there. If you feel like this is an issue for you, you know, you can learn on the job. A lot of local elected officials can learn on the job or take part in local government center trainings or in other places to kind of fill in some of those gaps, but just making them aware of those opportunities and so they can kind of set themselves up for greater success once they're in office. So that's part of how we're trying to encourage women to run.
One of the things that I have noticed about getting women involved in our communities is, like you said, Dan, women don't see themselves in that role or they wait to be asked. Who's the person that needs to ask these people? Is it women who are in office? It's men who are in office? Who's the one that needs to go to these nonprofits and say, you know, you're already doing this. Why don't you do it for your community? Dan's shaking his head at me.
So I would say all of the above. I think that what we found, because we, in addition to the survey research, we did some focus groups with women who have successfully run for office and are in office. And what we heard from them is that a variety of things. So do women want to be recruited by other women? Yes. Do women feel in some ways, or people, I should say, or do candidates, potential candidates, feel more confident when somebody who is in that office is asking them to run for that office? Yes, because they have some legitimacy. They understand what the office is. Support from friends and family has also been something that successful women have talked about. So it's really all of the above. I think what's important is understanding that perhaps for recruiting women, it might take something different than it does for recruiting men. So for men, our sense is that lots of men will run for an office once they realize that there is a vacancy or that there's an election coming up. Women less so. Women have to be asked, yes, and then encouraged to do so. So we are recommending that when you're trying to recruit a woman to run, that it's not just simply asking. It's asking, following up, understanding what their concerns might be, making sure that those concerns are real. As an example, some women have cited that they, in numbers greater than men, that they do not want to raise funds. They don't want to go out there and try to raise funds for their campaign. Well, for most of these elected offices, you don't have to raise funds, for around the state. Now, maybe in Madison, Milwaukee, you've got to put up some signs or something like that. But for most of these offices at the local level, there's not really much of a campaign expenditure. So it's just letting people know that that's not the case, and women know, as an example.
Do you think that women look at a county board or a city council seat and say, oh my gosh, this must entail 50 hours a week and I don't have 50 hours a week to devote to that. And then when they sit down and start talking with somebody who's there, they realize that this is not a full-time job. We're asking you to volunteer some of your time. Is it sometimes people don't understand what the job entails and that's what hinders them from running?
I think so. Absolutely. You know, Dan talked about raising funds, but again, and another, like you said, how much time does this really take? Is there some flexibility there in terms of how many committees you're on? That might influence how much time you can, that you may have to dedicate to this particular position. So there's lots of opportunities like that when recruiting men and women for office, right, to make sure people understand what's really required here. Another issue that came up is around criticism around making decisions. Now, some boards may be more contentious than others, but many at the local level really aren't that contentious. They're pretty friendly boards. And so if you are maybe watching news at the federal level and thinking that's how the local city council operates, I can see why folks may not want to get involved, but that's not really the case. And so that's another example of, you know, real life versus, you know, television.
Right. One of the things that I that we've talked about on this podcast before as well is that people always think at the federal level, and oh, this is what it's like at the national level, or this is what it's like at the state level, and they don't realize the impact that local government has, and that what happens at the local government is actually different. I mean, we're not having everybody come up and do a press conference every time they disagree with somebody else on the committee. That's not how local government is being run. And I think that's what you're trying to get to, is that it's not going to be contentious all the time.
Right. Right. And depending on the board, it may not be contentious almost ever. And so exactly right. So just really understanding what is this role. And that's part of, like I said, recruiting men and women, is going through some of those, what you can expect.
So when you did your research and your surveys, were you looking at people who were serving on city councils? Were you looking at county boards? Were you looking at state and national? Where was your focus when you were surveying?
The surveys were focused at the county board level. So we surveyed every county board member or supervisor in the state. But our focus groups, when we were trying to figure out, well, what's working, that was at multiple levels. So we had town board members, we had county board members, city council members, we had some constitutional officers. So city council, village board, school board. So we had multiple levels. But the initial research, when we were just sort of trying to figure out what the barriers were, that was focused at the county level.
Okay. All right. Perfect. All right. Well, stay tuned. There's more to come.
The Wisconsin Counties Association represents Wisconsin's 72 counties at both the state and federal level. Learn more about how counties impact your community at wicounties.org.
You're listening to Hashtag Local Gov Matters. I'm Gwen Gunther of the Wheeler Report, and today's guests are Dan Hill, the local government specialist for UW Extension, and Jennifer Erickson, the Sauk County UW Extension Community Development Educator. So I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a moment with both of you. Why is it important that women run for elected office if so many women are in position of power behind an elected official? So let me give you an example. Governor Evers' chief of staff is a woman, and most of his executive team are women. Speaker Voss's chief of staff is a woman, and most of his staff are women. So is there a difference between being the elected official and being the person behind the elected official? I'm going to send this to you, Jennifer.
Sure. Well, so I just want to be clear that you're talking about examples on the state level, and our research really focused on town, city, village, county type level. So it's really different when you're talking about staffing and support. Not anything really like, you know, a chief of staff at the town board level. So I do think it's important that women are in those supervisor roles, because, like I said, they're bringing up different issues. They are bringing new perspectives, and they are just representing, it's a more diverse board is representing a more diverse population. And so I just think that you're, community is more in, you know, the board is more in touch with what's going on in the community. So I do think it's important that women are in those roles.
And I think one of the things that we talked about before we started the podcast was that at the local level and at the county board level, they don't necessarily have staff. So while at the state level, you can have women in your office who are giving you that other perspective, but at the local level, you don't have staff. You don't have somebody else handing you information and all of that stuff.
Absolutely right. I do not know of any county board supervisors in my county that have their own staff.
So, Dan, one of the things that was also brought up before we started the podcast was the importance of clerks, and that there are a lot of women clerks in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes. I don't know. We don't have numbers on that, but I think it's a very, very high percentage. I'd like to throw out a number, but I won't. But and I think those clerks do have a lot of influence on the boards because there aren't, they don't have staff. They turn to the clerks for information. They turn to clerks for recommendations. So the clerks at the municipal level, the county level, do have quite a bit of influence.
So I'm
but
gonna
they
ask-
don't ultimately have the power.
Right. Right.
Because it's those that have the vote that get to make the final decision. But they do have influence.
So I'm going to have you back step for just a minute. When you're talking about clerks, who are you referring to?
So there's clerks at the town board level. Town boards have clerks. City councils have clerks. There's a clerk at the village level. So,
but those are not elected positions.
Well, some of them are elected and some of them are appointed.
Okay.
But they are not members of the governing body.
Okay.
Okay. So it's a separate office.
Excellent. So Jennifer, if we want to bring one thing forward that we want women to know about running for office, give me your elevator pitch on women running for office.
Give me my elevator pitch for women running for office. I just think it's important. I think we as a community and a society need to do a better job of reaching out to women and encouraging them to run. We've talked about, or Dan's mentioned, that we see these women in other, you know, high level positions in the county or communities, but not necessarily in elected office. And I just think it's important that we are taking the steps to reach out to them to make sure that they run.
All right. Any final thoughts, Dan?
Well, I would just add to that I would say that you can do it. Do a little bit of research and you'll probably find out that it's not as daunting as it might first appear.
Well, I'm going to throw my two cents in here, and I'm going to say that my philosophy has always been more is caught than taught. And if we want young women to step forward, then we as other people who are already in the community, women, whether we're moms or we're mentors, we need to show women that they can be there. So that's the end of today's podcast, and I want to thank both of you for coming. This has been a great discussion about getting women involved in government at all levels. For additional information or links to any specific documents, go to www.thewheelerreport.com and check out the podcast details. And make sure you catch us on community radio. We're on Rice Lake Radio 105.5 FM, Wapaka Radio 96.3 FM, and Sun Prairie Radio 103.5 FM. Thank you to the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and Wisconsin Counties Association for working with me on this podcast. And thanks always to Jackie Johnson for doing all of our sound editing.